Thank you and welcome for the Azure Media Services session. My name is Guru Bala. I am based out of Bangalore and I work for Microsoft India. My role is to ensure that we are able to scale and help customers adopt Azure Media Services across the Asia Pacific region. Want to introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Vishal. I'm a program manager in the Azure Media Services team. My mic just turned on. So I'm Vishal, just in case you didn't hear that. So I'm a program manager on the Azure Media Services team in Redmond. So we are the guys who build the service, so I'm happy to talk about it here with you guys. And would love to make this session interactive, so if you have questions, we can either address them. We'll have enough time towards the end of the show, but if you have a pressing question, feel free to raise your hand as well. So.
Yep. Right. Okay, all right. So how many of you saw the keynote sessions yesterday sitting outside of the keynote room itself? How was your experience of sitting outside the keynote room and watching the session? Did you realize that it was live streamed from Azure Media Services? Did you know about that? So if you were sitting on another room and you were watching it, this was actually live streamed all the way up to the cloud and you were watching it on the screen. So just in case you did not know about it, that's what we did. We were live streaming it through the cloud in all the other rooms as well as to the thousands of audiences who were not present in Pune to watch the sessions. So how many of you have tried out Azure Media Services? You've tried out Azure Media Services? Okay, you have some applications in production?
Yes, last week we created an application expression input.
Okay. Okay, all right. So what I will do is I will quickly take you through the agenda. So what we will be doing is we will cover some industry trends. We will understand, you know, how content owners are looking at media services. What is the trend in the industry which is driving adoption of media services and video content in particular. We look at some of our customers and deployments. What do they have running on Azure Media Services today? And Vishal will walk you through the technology. What is the engineering that goes behind making Azure Media Services what you see on your computers today. So talking about some key industry trends, what we are seeing is video is clearly the new currency. Everyone wants to see their own personalized content of what they like on the device that they have in hand. It could be a laptop, it could be a phablet, it could be a mobile phone. So what we are seeing more and more is everyone is wanting to clearly have premium content delivered on their device of choice. And for you to do that as content owners or content creators, it really requires a lot of investments on the hardware as well as on the software to make this possible and ensure that the content that you create or the content that you have, you are able to go and ensure that you are able to provide this across millions of devices that's out there in the market today. So what we are trying to address here is the challenge and enable you to go and provide that content across millions of viewers, not worrying about how to scale the solution or how to make the solution available across millions of users. So what we are seeing is there are more and more devices that's coming on the market today, and that's probably multiplying faster than human beings themselves. So there is a proliferation of devices. Any idea of how many devices or how many mobile phones India has got in the market today? Any number that you know of? Feature phones and smartphones put together? 90 million? No. Any, sorry? No, you're kind of close to it, not, but still a bit far off. No, so we've got about 920 million devices in the market today in India. So there is really a huge, huge proliferation. And the penetration of smartphones is really, really small in that. It's probably about 10% or so. There is a huge gap in terms of smartphones being available in the market and the total number of devices that's available in the Indian market today. And what we are seeing is there are going to be about 20 billion devices, which is going to generate so much of data almost on a monthly and a yearly basis. And what's more, everyone is talking about internet and data traffic. We are going to have, we already have 4G in Bangalore today, and that's going to be rolled out across the country. The premium content that's going to be available on internet is predicted to be video. So video is going to be the you know, that's kind of going to proliferate, and that's going to be available across all devices through the internet. So the challenge here is, how do you ensure that both the network as well as at the service provider level, you are able to ensure that you are able to make this content available to all users, to the 900 million plus, to the billion plus of devices and users across the market. So there are some statistics which I would like to share with you. So what this statistics shows you is, there was a study which NBC Sports in the US did, and what the study came out was, the study said that people who watch TV, when they are hooked on to more number of devices, the time that they spend in front of the TV automatically increases. So what you see here is, people who don't have multiple devices, they spend about 4 hours and 19 minutes, versus people who have got multiple devices spend about 6 hours on the TV. So clearly, the content owner, what he is trying to do is, he's trying to have content delivered to as many devices and as many screens as possible, so that viewership increases and hence his revenue increases. So this was a clear outcome which very clearly stated that the viewership on the TV is directly proportional to the number of screens or number of devices on which your content is being made available. And yeah, there are some more statistics about mobile owners being, so 84% of the mobile owners watch TV while they have it on their mobiles as well. And some statistics about millennials, I will skip through this. So live events are a big are a real big opportunity for all broadcasters as well as content owners. So just to give you some statistics, we did the live streaming of Azure of the London Olympics through Azure Media Services. We did live streaming of the Sochi Olympics. We did live streaming of the FIFA World Cup. So we have done some very large mega scale live streaming events across the world using the platform. So the content owner's dilemma. So the content owner has got a very clear dilemma in terms of, you know, what are going to be his business and licensing rules, how is he going to protect his data, what kind of encryption and DRM techniques he's going to use, and how is he going to very specifically do geo-blocking, ring fence a particular content to be available in a particular geography, what kind of analytics he's going to provide, what kind of player he's going to provide at the end user, so that using that player he's able to ensure that his content is being played across multiple devices. So what we are trying to address here is, we are trying to address all these issues for the content owner and ensure that he is able to provide a seamless video experience to all his end users. Yeah, sure. It is all about video analytics as well as user behavior. You know, how many people are watching the video? Is a person watching the video from 0 to the 40th minute or 0 to the 60 minutes if it's a 60-minute program? Where is he stopping? How many people have watched a video? If it's a one-hour video, how many people have watched it fully? How many people have watched it for more than 50% of the content, and so on? No, it's not what is happening in the field. It's about the user behavior that we are talking about here. So I'll quickly go through the customers and deployments that we have till date. So these are some of our customers who are already using Azure Media Services. I will very quickly go through some of our cases that we have here. So NBC Sports Super Bowl 49 was live streamed through Azure. So we had got about 800,000 average viewers per minute or per second. That was the concurrency we were able to achieve, and there was about 84.2 minutes of engagement per viewer. And we had about 2.5 million unique viewers. So that is the scale that we have been able to address, and that is the audience that we have been able to reach through the Azure Media Services. And very interestingly, we had only 7% of the provision capacity used for such a large scale event that was live streamed worldwide. So FIFA World Cup 2014, June, July 2014, this was live streamed. This had about 10 broadcasters across three continents. We did have several broadcasters do this in Asia as well. If you're familiar with Astro in Malaysia, TVB in Hong Kong, all of them use the Azure Media Services to live stream this in Asia Pacific region. So we had about 30 days of events and 64 matches. We partnered with a partner called Delta 3. They are based out of Europe. So they helped run their stack on Azure Media Services and provide this as a service to all the broadcasters. So Sochi, this was a Winter Olympics event that was held in Feb 2014. So some statistics about Sochi. So by the way, all of this was with a redundant architecture, which means that if you were trying to stream this out of Singapore data center, and if something is to happen to the Singapore data center, and if connectivity is lost, we had built a fully redundant architecture so that live streaming is not interrupted, and we are able to live stream this through the Hong Kong data center. So that is the level of redundancy we had built in for each of these live streaming events. So we had about 204 live streaming channels for the Sochi Winter Olympics. And for the US versus Canada semifinal hockey game, we had a maximum of 2.1 million concurrent viewers who watched this match. Let me skip some of these slides. So over the top success. So if you know of Blinkbox in the UK, what they have done is they have gone to the market in a subscription model where they have aggregated a lot of Hollywood movies and content, and users can come and watch any kind of Hollywood movie by subscribing to Blinkbox as a service in the UK. So this is a complete over-the-top video-on-demand service that's being provided by Blinkbox to the consumers in the UK. And we have got several of them providing such a service through Azure Media Services in Asia Pacific as well. And just so you know, we have got several customers in India, a very large telco customer who is using Azure Media Services in a very interesting way. The use case there is a lot of their employees leave their kids in creche, in daycare centers. So what this organization, this telco organization has done is they have installed cameras in each of these daycare centers so that they're able to stream back what the kids are doing in their employees' laptop to ensure that they give the additional security to each of their employees' children while they are left at daycare centers. So that's a very interesting use case that we saw with one of the large telcos in India, which they had provided as a feature to their employees. There's another large bank in India, a very large bank. Unfortunately, I'm not able to quote the name of the bank because we don't yet have permission from them to disclose their name in public. A very large private bank, which many of you would be very familiar with. They do a lot of their town hall scenarios where their CEO or COO addresses the employees on a very regular basis. All of that is live streamed today using Azure Media Services. So we've got several examples from India as well as outside India of customers who are using this service in a very large way. Let me skip some of these use cases. So there is a Fans Choice. This is an organization in the US which went to a market which in less than 3 weeks and with just two engineers. So they built a website and they offered content through this website of so basically what they do is they offer content which is related to motorsports and racing. So they built a website which will be able to provide you video on demand as well as live streaming in less than 3 weeks' time. We also had a CNN which provided video clips on what they call as Magic Wall for their previously concluded elections. And all the video clips that CNN had pulled up during the election day on the Magic Wall was completely rendered through the Azure Media Services stack. So very quickly, is it only for B2C? No, we have got, as I give you examples of large enterprise customers in India adopting that as well. So we've got multiple use cases in terms of internal video distribution, marketing and advertisements. We've got several brands who use video on demand to reach out to their audiences. And we've got video portals for the enterprises as well. So some examples are L'Oreal in Paris. What they do is they go and advertise and they market their brand through Azure Media Services with the n number of videos that they have. And we've got a smart TV which is partnered with Samsung through which they do a lot of branding and advertisements through Azure Media Services. And I would like to share this very interesting case study as well. So as of February 16th, just about a month ago, we had about 3,000 medical students who tuned into the world's first 24-hour worldwide robotic surgery that was conducted. So this was live streamed through Azure Media Services, and this was live streamed from 10 leading robotic surgery centers of excellence from 4 continents. So this was a first of its kind that happened in the world in terms of robotic surgery itself, and second in terms of robotic surgery being live streamed across all the 5 continents for all the medical students to view and understand how a live robotic surgery happens. This was again done through our partner called Live Arena, and they did this on Azure Media Services. Anyone who has already heard of this before? Did anybody follow this? Okay, that's fine. So this is an example of how corporates have been using Azure Media Services. You will be able to upload all of your corporate video content onto O365. How many of you have adopted O365? Okay, so just so you know, we offer the video on demand is a free service that we offer on O365. You will be able to upload all your organization's video contents, and you will be able to create a video on demand portal which your employees will be able to come and consume. And of course, that is completely built with all kinds of security, which includes integration with Active Directory in your organization in case you have Active Directory. Otherwise, you can go ahead with what we call as AES encryption. So let me stop here. Let me know if you've got any questions. Otherwise, I will pass it on to Vishal, who will help you understand what's the technology behind delivering this as a service. And he will also showcase some exciting demos. So over to you, Vishal.
Thank you. Thank you, Guru. Yeah, a lot of exciting use cases, right? So let's see how all of this is done. Like, what is the technology we are building in the cloud to make all this possible, right? So I'll be covering that, showing demos. I am going to keep a tab on the time, so I'll have to go fast. But if you don't understand something, ask me questions after the session, or as well, I'll be around here, so we can use that time as well. So what is Azure Media Services, right? So Azure Media Services essentially is a bunch of APIs in the cloud, right? So at a very, very simplistic level. So if you have a piece of video that you want to stream to millions of people, like we just showed you a lot of examples for, that video needs to be first kind of, if you're using cloud, it needs to get into the cloud first. Then the video needs to be compressed. You can't serve out really, really huge video. And that part, the process of compression is what we call transcoding. So we actually convert the video into formats that make it streamable in the network, right, over the internet. Then after that is done, there are certain use cases where you want to protect your content. So you just, like if you're an enterprise, some of you are here, so you don't want your content to leak outside your employees. So how do you do that? You encrypt the content, then you have policies around that. Then finally, the streaming itself, right? The content is hosted. When you're coming from an iPhone, you need a certain kind of format. When you're coming from a Windows phone, you need some other format. So how do you manage all these complexities, right? And then finally, how do you play the video itself? Like, yes, I can host it, I can stream it, but I need the player side experience as well. What we offer as a part of the stack are APIs to do all of this workflow, and I'll be covering each of these sections as we walk through. But at a high level, what we offer is, has anyone of you looked at Netflix at all, or are familiar with that?
Yes,
perfect. So you have proxy servers, huh? Anyway, so Netflix, for example, does all adaptive streaming, right? So by default, any videos you upload and stream from the cloud, we offer adaptive streaming experience. And the way adaptive streaming inherently works is all of the logic for what to switch and what bitrate to select resides on the client. So the clients are a very important part of this equation, and I'll cover that as well in the brief in details here. But at a high level, we offer client technologies across all the stacks. So any kind of device you can think of that has some usage numbers behind it, we actually support video playback on those devices. And in terms of the delivery, right, so you don't want to scale to millions of users just using a server running in the cloud. So you need something called a CDN. I don't know how many are familiar with CDN, but it's basically a content delivery network. All of the video we stream from Azure Media Services is inherently cacheable. So what that means is you can amplify by putting cache servers in front of the origin server. So that's what a CDN is. And we have an Azure CDN offering. I will cover that very briefly. But we also work with third-party CDNs like Akamai and others. And Akamai is the one which is popular in India. So, but we have others like Level 3, Limelight that we work with as well. Yes, so let me get to that. That's the slide after this. Next, I'll hopefully answer your question there. So Before we get into details and its bits and pieces, but let's look at these things that we talked about again, right? For upload, Azure Media Services offers you a standard way of HTTP upload, which is how you would upload to Azure Storage today, so you can just use that. We also offer FTP upload, and we also offer services for UDP upload. So UDP upload are a case where you want to maximize your bandwidth from your network to the cloud. So you use something called, some partners like Aspera who offer services in this area. So they are our partners and they are integrated into our solution. In addition, we also work very well with ExpressRoute, and there are sessions on ExpressRoute. I don't know if they've already happened, but if you have ExpressRoute set up, then you can once again get your videos into the cloud using that model. Right? So then, as I said, once your video is in the cloud, I need to convert it or I need to transcode it, right? So as a part of transcoding, we support a bunch of formats, and I'll cover that in the next slide, but some of them are already covered here. And what we do with these formats is we convert them into standard MP4s that are H.264 and AAC for audio. So we take your quality, let's say you're uploading a GoPro video, and that's, let's say, 20 megabits per second. Obviously, you're not going to stream 20 megabits per second video. Like, your bandwidth won't support that. So what we'll do is we'll take your incoming file, transcode into multiple qualities for adaptive streaming, like, let's say, all the way from 240p to 720p, and then we'll host these services in the cloud. Host these video files in the cloud in a single format, which is MP4. So if you were to double-click that file, you can actually watch it in your Windows Media Player. Correct. That's the question is, will it adapt according to the client's network? Absolutely. So that's, I'll cover that as well when I talk about players on how we actually do that. Okay? So media intelligence. So yes, everybody, a lot of people can stream video today, right? So that is kind of table stakes. So we do offer that. But one of the areas that we are innovating quite heavily in, and we have some services already, and I'll show you some demos for that, is the media intelligence area. So once we have your video, which you're transcoding with us, what kind of information can we pull out of the video to help you? Like, for example, we have a service called Media Indexer. So what we do with that service is we transcribe all the audio in your video files, so, and convert it to text. Then you can index that text with Azure Search, and now you can search within the video. Like, so this is, so search for video pretty much today is metadata based search, right? So, but now what we are saying is, hey, can you find me all the videos where ASP.NET was mentioned, even though there was no metadata that talked about ASP.NET? So that's a very, very powerful scenario, and I'll show you a demo for that shortly as well. So Azure Media Indexer is a part of Azure Media Services. So it's a kind of operation that you run on Azure Media Services. And the way we do it is we have indexed it into an XML format, and we also have a binary format that you can index into SQL-based search engines. And I'll show you a demo, and we can talk about this a little bit more there. Yeah, so the question is, correct. So the question is, if I have a lot of data, I don't want to call any of the APIs or ExpressRoute or anything like that, can I just give the data to Microsoft and they ingest it into the cloud? So there is such a model. Guru probably knows the detail on how it works in India. But I'm sure we take privacy, compliance, security very seriously. So it would cover those parts as well. Do you know?
Yeah, we would be able to take a disk from you, and you will be able to ship it onto Azure data centers. We will copy it, and then we will purge the disks. So we've got a very secure way of doing it.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely, and I will talk about this in the player construct. So, like, what kind of metrics do we offer you? I can briefly talk about what kind of analytics we are building in the future, but we don't have an analytics offering today. We do have APIs to collect data, though. Sure, okay. It's the pricing is all based on amount of data you use to process in the system. So transcoding has its own kind of meter. So you transcode GBs of output, streaming has GBs of output, for example, media indexer is how many hours of indexing you do. So there are meters like that for every offering we have. Okay. So I'm going to have to pause questions here a little bit, because otherwise I won't be able to cover all the details here. But I will try to save some time for questions. So sorry, apologize about that. But so continuing in the series here, so content protection. So in Azure Media Services, we offer two ways to protect your content. So if you have seen iPhone streaming, then iPhones by default support what we call AES 128-bit encryption. So we can do that for you in our services. And the way we do it is we do it on-the-fly encryption. And I'll cover in more details in the next slides. But when you submit your content, as I said, we store it in MP4, then we can stream it out as AES 128-bit encrypted. And we also support Microsoft PlayReady, which is a DRM technology, along with that. So it's your choice how robust you want your content to be, and I'll explain the differences as well for both of them. I talked about streaming already. CDN, I think most people understand. So once you have a streaming endpoint in Azure Media Services, then you can amplify it by putting a CDN in front of it, and we do offer a CDN which is integrated with our streaming engine. So, and I'll talk about that. Player also I'll talk. I'll skip this for now because I'm running out of time here. But so let's go over. I'm going to talk about these five building blocks today. So let's go over them one by one, right? So upload I talked about is more or less straightforward, so I'm going to skip that. But encoding and media intelligence, right? So what do we do here? So our encoding service is essentially running as equivalent of VMs in the cloud, right? So depending on your workload, we can scale the number of instances for encoder running in the cloud. And when your workload is done, we can bring that back down. So it's on-demand elastic scale for encoding, right? So for example, Blinkbox example that you saw, so typically how video industry works, and I'm sure some of you are familiar with this, is they get 10,000 video assets on one day, and then they might get nothing for the rest for 29 days in the month. So it's very elastic. So what we did for Blinkbox was, within a matter of seconds, they were able to say, like, scale my encoding instances up to 200 so that I can process through this data, and as soon as the data is done, scale them back to one, because I don't really need it. So the flexibility it offers you versus a traditional CapEx model is pretty immense over there, right? And so you pay for what you use. So as I was explaining, the way our pricing works today is for output GBs. So like let's say you submit, a GoPro video for 20 megabits per second, input ingest into the Azure is free. But when you transcode it, the how many other qualities you choose for us to transcode in, you add up all the GBs for that, that's how you kind of pay for that offering. So it's a per GB model. And then we have a Azure Management Portal, and if I have time, I'll demo that today as well. But it's very straightforward. You can upload your content, run encoding jobs, or you can actually even call our APIs. So all of our flat service is basically a set of APIs, and we build. We're getting a lot of noise here. Sorry about that. So you can either use the portal to manage your content, which is a very simple use case. It's not a very complex CMS kind of a portal, but very simple. Your assets are there. You can run jobs on them for encoding. You can set up streaming URLs and use it from a player within the portal. But everything in the portal is backed by API, so you can actually write custom experiences. So for example, the DeltaTree example you saw for Olympics, they use our APIs, but they use their own CMS system for the customer. So that's why I think partners are a very valuable asset for us in this space. So we do expect our partners to build incredible solutions on top of these APIs. Okay? In terms of the format supported, all of this is public knowledge, so I'm going to skip most of this. I will briefly talk about the comprehensive workflow designer tool. So we also have an Azure Media Services premium encoder offering, so which is, it gives you, if you have, in most cases, you have a piece of video you want to stream to many users, and then it's pretty straightforward. But in some of these cases, you have complex workflow steps. Like, for example, if the video is in one of these formats and I want to do this, if the video has one of these characteristics, I want to only transcode to 720p versus 1080p. So it's very complex kind of workflows. So we have a graphic designer tool that you can build these workflows with if you happen to have such a complex workflow. And then you can submit it as a part of transcoding job to us, and we'll take that and do all of that defined in the workflow there. So the QC kind of workflows. So the question is, can we say that the content on the output side was encoded the right way and all that kind of stuff?
And the type of the content, which is
type of the content?
Type of the content, like
So today we don't know what's inside your video. But that's where the workflow is involved. So when you are building the workflow, you can have a workflow which says, I'm going to push the video through this workflow or that workflow, depending on what the video is. Because from our perspective, every video is just a binary blob that we get in, right? We don't know how you are using that video.
And it's not right on our part as well to understand what you are trying to stream, because you own the content. We are not supposed to even look into your content and decide what to do with the content.
But we can define the workflow which includes both.
You could do that. Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, you can.
As a content owner, you will be able to do that.
So quickly, Azure Media Indexer. So as I mentioned, as a part of our transcoding service, we also offer an indexer service. So where we take your video, we get the audio, transcribe it to text, and we give you that text file as a TTML file output. So TTML is a time markup language, so where you can say these words or these phrases are mentioned at this time. And then you can also get an AIB file from us. AIB is a binary file which can be directly ingested into a SQL server. So if you're using some SQL-based engine, then that helps you. But the TTML is the most common use case. And the way you use these files is either for things like closed captioning. So we have a fairly high accuracy for videos that don't have a lot of ambient noise. But the videos that have ambient noise, we have editing tools. So for example, here is a site that was built by one of our customers. So what you see here in the site is they have built a search portal. So once you put a search term at the top, in this case, they are putting binary pulsar. And then you see a list of videos. And next to the videos, you see the time at which the words that you entered in the search box were mentioned. So if I were to click on any one of this point, it will take me to that point in the video directly. So I just start watching from there. So this is one of the customers, Science Cinema, who has built this website for using our APIs and our indexer service. And this is a tool that IE Teams provides, right? So as I said, we get up to 90% plus accuracy for closed captioning for the transcribing, but we obviously can't do 100%. It's a very complex world. So what we offer is a tool where you can load that file and you can manually go and edit and change things that were not done correctly. So for example, one of the things that Indexer does is not shown in the screenshot here is it puts a dot, dot, dot for the word it did not recognize. So you can go load that file in this tool, quickly see all the dot, dot, dots and fix them. And then you can publish as a web VTT file or a TTML file and use for closed captioning in your player. And our players support that as well. So these are just some of the cases that we have use Indexer for. And I will come back to this later and I'll ask you for compelling use cases you can think of how you will use this service. And we have some giveaways here as well that we'll do that as well. But let's keep going in the interest of time here. So let me do a quick demo. So this is a website we had built. This website wasn't working for me before the demo, so I hope it works now. But so what we had built is a simple player, and I'll talk about these functions later, so ignore them for now. And if you see at the top, we had a section called search. So as you know, Microsoft recently announced HoloLens, right? So what we did is took all the HoloLens videos that were streamed at that point of time and ran it through Indexer. So now, if I just put in here, unfortunately, I already did that here, but if I put in here and say I want to search for holographic, where was holographic mentioned in all of my videos? As I was saying, this website was extremely slow today, but let's hope it loads. So what this is now going and doing is, it is going through Azure Search, which is a Lucene-based search engine. And what that does is, all the output of the indexer service was loaded into Lucene and enabled as a part of Search API. Bear with me for this. I know this demo was flaky before this as well, but I think I'll skip this. It's not working here. But so Lucene is an Elasticsearch engine, and Azure Search uses that. So Azure Search Service, when you use it, it's Lucene behind the covers. So it's a very efficient open source search engine that is, and a search service is built around that. So they add value on top of that rather than trying to reinvent that. So it did come. It's a little slow today. So what you see here is all the videos that were there, and then you see the words where they were mentioned and what time they were mentioned. So if I were to click this, and this is where, I mean, this site wasn't behaving today, but it would actually load that video in this player here and play from that part of the video. I will send this link out if you need, and I'll put my Twitter handle. If you need it, I'll send this link out so you guys can play with it. But I apologize for this not working today. Okay. So with that, let's go to the next bucket here, which is content protection, right? So as I was saying, there are literally two ways we offer you to protect your content. One is a very robust DRM infrastructure, which is Microsoft PlayReady. It is accepted by all studios worldwide. Like things like Netflix trust PlayReady DRM for the most premium content, which is kind of very big value attached to it. And on the other side, we have AES clear key encryption, and I'll describe why it's clear key. And you use this in scenarios where either the content has time value to it. For example, if I am watching a tennis match, right, and I know who won, then the value of that content goes down pretty fast. But while it is live, it's very pricey. It's very valued content, right? So So then either that or in the cases like enterprise video, right, where I know I can trust my employees to a certain extent, right? So I trust they will make mistakes potentially, but I at least trust them to the extent that they will not intentionally leak content. So in those kind of cases, I can do AES clear key encryption. So the difference between these two is, in both these cases, we encrypt the content with 128-bit encryption, which is industry standard. But in the AES clear key case, when the player actually goes and asks for a key to decrypt and play the content, the key comes down unencrypted. It's over SSL, so it's not that anybody can get to it. And it's behind an auth, so you can do token auth. So you can make sure it's like Vishal Sood from Microsoft and easy entitled to that content using the JWT tokens, JWT tokens. And if valid only, then I give the key. But the key itself is unencrypted. So what this means is, if Vishal Sood was a hacker, he could pull his player apart. It's not easy, but I could do it and get the key out and somehow publish it. And that's the trust part. So I trust the employees not to do that, because Microsoft will probably kick me in the ass and fire me for that. So that's how you can trust that, right? When I don't trust that, so Netflix scenario, Netflix knows that the subscribers have intentions to pirate content. So what they do is they do DRM technology. So the difference here is the key itself comes down encrypted. So I, even though I'm a hacker, I cannot get to the key, because even if I get to the key, it's encrypted. And the decryption happens deep in the OS pipeline, so it's very hard and almost impossible to get to that key. And that's the difference between DRM and AES encryption. We offer both these as services. So in terms of how we use this in Azure Media Services, first of all, your content is secured throughout the lifecycle. So the moment you upload your content, we actually encrypt the content on your disk and then upload it to the cloud over SSL. So your content is going over SSL, and even after SSL, it's also encrypted internally with 256-bit encryption. Then when your content is sitting on the disk in the cloud, it's always encrypted with AES 256-bit encryption. So when you have to take your content, transcode it, we decrypt it in memory, we re-encrypt it and put it back to disk. So it's always, whenever it's stored in disk, it's always encrypted. When I'm going to stream your content, I'm going to decrypt your content in memory and then re-encrypt for one of these two options that you choose, which is AES or DRM, and then stream it out. So nowhere in this lifecycle is your content ever in clear if you choose to do it that way. All of these are API configurations you can manage. Then we have a hosted license delivery service or key delivery service. So the way DRM or AES work is, the content comes down, the player recognizes this is protected content and I need a key, then it reaches out to a key server, and if you have enabled initial auth on it, you attach a cookie to it or a token to it, and then you get the key and you play back. So you need a key service to give you the key or the player license. So we have both of them as hosted services, which support JWT token auth. So it's standard token auth, so you can work with OAuth engines and use the scope or the audience and scope and all that kind of stuff instead of your JWT tokens to protect your assets. One of the things we have done very interesting here is, for office video, we have done integration with AD. So AD also gives you JWT tokens after authentication. So I can say for every video, only this user is allowed to access video, and it will automatically be respected by our service, because we will go for claims inside the token and validate against the configuration you had done on the video on our service. Future-proof and easy to swap keys. This is very important. Let's see if Netflix somehow were to lose their keys for PlayReady and somehow gets in the wrong hands. What will they have to do? They will have to go back and re-encrypt all their assets. But the way we do it, we do dynamic encryption. So which, as I said, we take your MP4 files from the disk, which are encrypted, unencrypt them, re-encrypt them for PlayReady on the fly, and stream it out. Right? So since we are doing on-the-fly encryption, if Netflix were to lose their keys, all they have to do is call our API and we'll change the keys for them. And the next time the content that goes out will be with a new key. So it's very secure in that sense, that it's okay if you lose keys, we'll kind of take care for you. And it's not a complicated 2-month process to upgrade all your assets again. Right? And on the other side is future-proof. So we are adding more DRM technologies. We are working on things like Widevine, so encryption as well, because that's the only thing that works in Chrome. So we are working on other things. So we will just take care of that for you. We'll just keep adding them as options, as API configuration, so you don't have to worry about, oh, I already uploaded my assets in the past. What is going to happen to them? Do I have to re-upload them and all that kind of stuff? You will just call our API and say, I also want Widevine now, and we will just take care of that for you. Yes. Yeah, so correct. So the way, yeah, so question is, how can I trust the secure upload when I'm using something like Aspera? So the way it works is, you always encrypt the asset before you upload, and then you send the key to Azure Media Services API. So as per us, don't, or the world don't even have any keys to decrypt your content or use it. So. So third-party DRM options is like Google's Widevine is one DRM option. Sony's Marlin is another option. Adobe Access is another option. So I can't give you other names other than Widevine because we are further ahead with Widevine, but we are looking at everything essentially. So give us your feedback on what you need for what reasons, and we can incorporate that. So. Yes, so, yes, it is different because Azure Media Services will encrypt that data for you because we know video is so sacred. Storage by default doesn't encrypt, but we offer APIs that you can encrypt your content on top of the storage.
So if my video is sitting in the
cloud, it is encrypted? Correct, it is always encrypted in the cloud, yes. So really quick, I'm running out of time here, but this is the video portal. So what you do is you go to new here, and then you can set up a new Azure Media Services account. You go to App Services, Media Services, click Create, and you can create an account. That's how you create an account in Azure Media Services. This is the management portal for Azure. Once you have done that, you get several tabs here. So one is the Content tab. So this is pretty much the tab that you will interact first with. So in this case, you see there's an Upload button at the bottom. So I can upload videos directly from here. And as you see, I have already uploaded some videos here. Some of them have been transcoded. Some of them are published, and some others are not. So let's take one of the videos that is not transcoded or published. I can go, I can say Process. I can say whether I want to run an encoder job or an indexer job. I can choose that from the portal. So indexer was the one that transcribed the audio to text, and encoder was the one that transcoded. So if I use encoder, I can choose from one of these profiles. If I'm using the APIs, I can pass in custom profiles as well. But the portal just limits it to the ones that are out of there as presets. Okay? I'm not going to do any of this. So jobs is, if I kick off an encoding job, I can monitor the progress of all the jobs here. Right now, there's nothing running on my system. But I'll get updates on that, what percentage of encoding is done and stuff like that. Then I can go to streaming endpoints. So this is where I go and set up my origin services in the cloud, essentially. So this is the video hosting service. So there is this concept of streaming units. So one streaming unit guarantees you a peak of 200 Mbps. So if you need, depending on how much output bandwidth you need, you can scale this up. So I can just go here and scale this to as many number of instances as I want. So let's say I want 100 instances. By default, we only limit it to 10 here in the portal. But if you call us, we can increase that limit for you. So depending on what your requirements are, you can do that. Then going back quickly to content protection tab. So this is what we just talked about. So you can go ahead and configure here whether you want keys to be open. What that means is I'm not going to token protect the keys, so anybody asking the keys will get it. If I do want to put token, I can just select token here, and then I can set up my claims and the scope, all that kind of stuff in the portal itself. So here is where you will put the AD, group ID or user ID and the value of that, and then we will respect that when we try to stream the content and match the token coming with the user to the claims you configured here. All of this can be done with the API. I can choose whether I want play ready also or just AES. I can do all of that setting here. Okay. Channels is what I'll cover next, so I'll wait for now. So currently through the portal, indexer only does indexer, encoding only does encoding. But if you are using our APIs, you can construct a job that will do both for you.
So if I have to do them, I have to do it 2 times?
No, yeah, for portal, yes. You have to do it 2 times, yes. But as I said, using APIs, which is, a portal is a very simple solution to kind of show you how it works. If you use our APIs, then you can do both in a single job. No, it's just the audio inside the video. Just audio inside the video. Yes. So what kind of metadata are you looking at? So we don't offer a metadata service today. We are looking at that, but we don't offer it today. But when you are running an indexer job, like sometimes there are terms that are very specific to your organization. You can pass those terms in when you're doing indexer job so that it recognizes, recognition improves if you do that. So that kind of metadata you can pass in, but not the general CMS style metadata. Today it does. Today it does only English. We are releasing more languages very shortly. Spanish and Mandarin are the ones we are working on next. And then we plan to release a language every set of languages every 2 months. So we are working on the portfolio of languages.
How has been the feedback for other languages apart from US English? I'm guessing US English will work best with the partners.
Yes. So we have only released one so far. So that's an easy answer. So yeah, so this is something you can just try out. You can upload your video and see if you have English video, how it does. The best part of the indexer is we have some quotes from our customers. They really like it. Even customers in India are using it. I can't tell you their names, but some really big ticket customers in India are actually using indexer service as well.
Can we add our custom
keywords? That's what I was saying. You can pass in custom keywords and custom phrases. Yep. Yes, absolutely. So all of it is REST API, so PowerShell will work very well as well. So quickly here, so from a streaming perspective, for live streaming this is, when you send your video to us, which is the ingest case, we actually support both RTMP, which is a standard way to stream content in most of the cases from encoders, and we also support smooth streaming, which is a fragmented MP4 format. Lot of production encoders support that, but from lot of consumer encoders, which are lower end encoders, pretty much do RTMP, so we support both. And we also support MPEG-2 TS ingest, which is another very popular format in terms of getting data to the cloud. So we do, so cloud encoding with multiple bitrate transcode is something we are working on. It has not been shipped yet, but it's very close. So what we'll do in that case, we'll send a single bitrate and we'll convert it into multiple bitrates in real time in the cloud. So today you have to send us multiple bitrates and we will just stream them, but this is coming. So it's already on the slide, but it probably should have an asterisk next to it, but it's coming really soon. Okay. So multi-protocol packaging. So as I said earlier, so stream comes in a single format, we archive it in a single format, but when an iPhone comes, we'll convert it to HLS and send it out. When a Windows phone comes, we'll convert it to smooth streaming or MPEG dash and send it out. So depending on what device you're coming from, we will convert it into the right format and send it out. Okay. Dynamic encryption, we already talked about this. While packaging, we can also encrypt your content. Ad signaling, so for premium content delivery scenarios like Olympics and all that kind of stuff, you can send ad markers in your content, and we can use those ad markers and pass it to the client, and the clients can do real-time insertion on their other side as well. I apologize, really, I'm really running through all of this because I'm running out of time, but do ask me any questions you might have after the session as well. Okay. So once again, indexing and search functionality will be available on your archived assets, so it's not real-time indexer search today. So I think I'm just going to skip most of these. They are self-explanatory. But one thing I want to talk about is instantaneous live to VOD transition and cloud DVR. These are very interesting features. So what we do here is when your stream is going live, we have this concept of channels. So you can start a channel and start pushing data into the channel. Then you can run multiple programs on that channel. So what it means is I can have one program which I put in my player, so everybody is at the current live position. But I can create additional programs to say this is where my one part of my live stream got started and ended. For example, let's say it's a keynote. First speaker started speaking at time X and stopped at time Y. The live stream is still continuing, but you can create additional program so that you can have archives of those speakers talking available as VOD assets right away. So no transcoding needed. As soon as the speaker is done, you just call stop program and your archive is available as a VOD asset that you can put into your VOD data, VOD system right away. Right? And cloud DVR is anytime in the live presentation, depending on your configuration, I can go back and watch it previously, what happened and all that kind of stuff. So another thing we can do is like for Olympics, for example, right? I use this old analogy, but Michael Phelps, I don't know if you know him or not, but he won like ton of gold medals. So this guy, what was happening is when NBC had the monetization opportunity, because this guy is winning gold medals and everybody wants to go and watch that clip. But NBC took hours to create that clip, and by that time the clip already showed up on YouTube somehow. So they lost all the revenue opportunity, right? So what we support is a subclipping functionality in Azure Media Services. So all you need to do is you can, within the live stream itself, you can say this is my start point, this is my end point, publish it as a clip, and we do it instantaneous publish as a clip. So now NBC, the moment the gold medal run is done or swim is done, I can immediately publish it on an odd asset, put advertisements around it and make the money instead of YouTube making the money, right? So that those are the kind of capabilities, and the asset is still live, it's not done yet, but you can start cutting clips and send, publishing it to your system. We have real-time health data and telemetry, so we can actually tell you how your content is coming in, how many 404s, what kind of experience your users are getting in terms of any errors on your stream, any errors on your channel, any errors from your encoder. So we give you all those via APIs, and we do have a simple dashboard for that as well. Right? Regional data centers, SLA guarantees. So one very interesting thing I want to talk about here is for Olympics this year, right? This is kind of our marquee event. We had 2.1 million concurrent users for USA versus Canada hockey game. And what we did there is we had this concept of channels in the cloud, so you can create channels. So in the previous Olympics, NBC took 6 months to create channels. So what the way that worked is they would order hardware, the hardware would come in, then they would provision software on that, then they will go through a bunch of testing, bunch of hooking up, then they will go through a BCDR strategy, what happens if something goes down, or data center goes down, then they'll go through a high availability and all that kind of stuff. It took them 6 months. This is a real statistic. And in this Olympics, it took them 2 minutes to start a channel. So the channel, actually you can go to the portal, and I probably can quickly show it, although I'm out of time, but so you can just go, this is the live channel part of it. I can just go here, and I can say, I want to name my channel, whatever I want to name, what kind of protocol it starts with, and that's it. That creates a channel. So I just created a channel 2 minutes before I started this session, and it's already done. I can then grab the ingest URL, put it into my transcoder, and I can start streaming to the world. So it's like the 6 months is cut down to 2 minutes, literally. So and then, as I said, channels are programs, so I can start doing my archiving strategy after that. So I want to, how often do I want to archive? And those archives will be available instantly, instantaneously as WAD assets. Okay. Then we offer cross-device hosted players, and this is something I want to talk about, so I'll just quickly run to that. I wanted to show a subclipping demo, but I won't be able to. Data centers, we are pretty much across all the regions. India is coming with the India data center launch. It's not there today. So last quickly on the player side. So this is where I could actually have you guys try it out as well. So I'll just jump directly into the demo. But 30 seconds, we have players for pretty much any device. Players offer monetization, player offers encryption, player offers advanced control of what your streams are. They help you build custom skins and all that kind of stuff. So all those kind of functionalities there. But one problem we had till very recently was customer would come and ask me, hey, Vishal, do you have a player for me? And I would go back and ask them, what player do you want? And they were like, they would look at me like I'm crazy, right? What do you mean, what player? I have a website, I want to put a player in, it should just work, right? What do you mean, what player? But streaming is complex, right? So some of us who know, sometimes we need Flash, sometimes we need Silverlight, sometimes we need HTML5. But that answer is not satisfactory for our customers, right? So what we have in the works, and we're going to release this next month, is Azure Media Player. So this is a single player which has JavaScript and CSS APIs. And you can talk to, as a developer, you can just talk to a single API surface. Within the player itself, we auto-detect where you are running. We automatically pull the right format from Azure Media Services, whether it's Smooth Streaming, HLS, MPEG Dash, whatever it is. We automatically choose the runtime, whether it's Flash, Silverlight, or HTML5. And we play that video for you with just a single embed code put in your website. So, and then all of the capabilities of the player, that stream controls, advertisements, analytics, are available through JavaScript APIs. We also provide you with a cloud-hosted version of the player, so you can just take an iframe and put it in your website. However, if you want to talk to our APIs and build some custom experience, there will be JavaScript APIs and CSS skinning infrastructure around it. Not only that, this player, you could also build native apps. So this player would work with Cordova, Apache Cordova, so you can just take this player you had built for the web, integrate into your iPhone app or an Android app or a Windows Phone app, and it will just work. So this is something that I have, and I'll... Azure Media Services live streaming is GA, so we absolutely stand behind it. It's backed by an SLA.
And why are we not using this for this conference? I saw we are using Cognosys.
Cognosys, so Azure Media Services, this is something I want to talk about really quick. Azure Media Services is a platform. We always need partners like Cognosys to build solutions on top of that platform. Cognosys was using Azure Media Services for live stream under the cover. So it just shows there's a Cognosys player, but they were using Azure Media Services under the cover. So, like similarly, when you go to the FIFA World Cup, it is a Delta Trace solution, but it's actually running Azure Media Services under the cover. So really quick, I'll show you this player here. So what I'm doing here in this player is I'm going to this So aka.ms/Azure Media Player, if you want to try it on your Android phones or Windows phones or whatever, you can try it along with me. So what you saw here is, I loaded this page in IE. IE is one of the modern browsers, so it supports MPEG Dash. So the player automatically picked up MPEG Dash. It automatically picked up JavaScript as a runtime because it knows the latest version of IE supports HTML5 video. And the player video starts.
Whether it's video that's already been created.
And so just to show it's no flash, says no flash. It's all HTML5 video, adaptively streamed right into your browser, right? So now let's say I go to another browser, which is a little bit behind the world here in terms of capabilities in video, is Firefox. So I'll go to the same website here. So same player loads, same kind of play button, everything is the same. But as you see, it picked up smooth streaming, which is Microsoft's format. It picked up runtime as flash, but the player looks exactly the same. There's no difference in the player. So if I right click this, it's actually running flash now. So if you see this here, right? If I were to do the same thing on Chrome, and I'm going to do it quickly here. So this is, I'm glad this monitor stopped giving me time prompts. That works. So that this is now picking up Dash and JavaScript because Chrome also supports modern HTML5. Now if you have phones, you can just go to aka.ms/Azure Media Player, so which is, I'll just type it here as well. And you can try it on your phones and it should work irrespective of what phone you have. I mean, of course, if it's a phone itself doesn't support video, it's a feature phone, it's a different deal, but any eligible phone should work. Okay. So anyway, so let me quickly jump back to slides. So we have APIs, but that's where our partners come in. So like that's what I was saying. So like if you have a live channel going 24/7 and you want to cut archives and program boundaries, we have APIs for that. But then the EPGs, we don't provide direct support for EPG today. So that's a partner built on top of us. Okay. So anyways, so that I know we are out of time, but what time is the next session? Do we know? Like is it
right now? Yeah.
Okay. So I'm sorry, like we ran out of time, but I'll be outside. We can ask me questions and all that kind of stuff. And I will give out some bags. I didn't get a chance to do it interactively, but yeah, I'll give it out to all those people who ask me good questions.
Yeah. And please give us feedback on the session and let us know if you've got any other questions. We'll be available outside.
So I think you asked me a lot of questions. So I'm just going to give you one more. Do you want a blag or a book? Bag? Perfect. You asked me a lot of questions as well. What do you want? Bag? Okay. You want
a book?
Okay. Okay. Sorry, I had no scientific way of doing this. Thank you. Okay, thank you very much for coming. We love your feedback. And I am on Twitter. And I also have my email here. So if you need to reach me, reach out to me, feel free to do it any one of the ways.
Thanks, everyone, for joining the session.
Thank you very much. Thank you for your time.